And welcome to Days of Our Lives, Mint's audio history series on liberalization and the ordinary man. Here, you will hear stories of how life changed for most people, be it the sunshine boy or the CEO following the reforms of 1991 in their voices.
Continuing our quest for stories of how reforms impacted lives, we bring you the journey of a small town boy who made it big in what is essentially a very post-reforms profession, bartending.
Bartending was all of a sudden looked as a profession by them. There were bartending competition which has started happening and bartenders were getting a recognition.
I had regulars, I've seen them having their first drink of their life to coming up with the first date. I'm being the wingman to them proposing someone to. I've been part of so many stories. People going through rough patches of their life, looking for somebody to share, being agony uncle.
From a small town in Uttarakhand to heading some of Delhi's most famous night spots over the years, Vaibhav Singh's story is a classic coming of age in an India which was emerging from the slow pace of the 80s into a heady, ambitious, fast-changing 90s.
I'm Vaibhav Singh and I am from a small town called Haldwani. It's foothill of Nainital, that's where I grew up. And currently I've been living in Delhi for past 18 years. In terms of my work, I have been into food and beverage industry, earlier with hotels, and now I run a standalone restaurant.
So what was growing up in small town India like at that point of time?
So there were very few children who focused on just academics. It was not so cool just to top your class. Being outdoors was considered to be very, very cool, and just picking up our bicycle and going towards a mountain was a big deal.
Okay.
Or going to the river and diving from the highest cliff was the coolest thing which we knew. And I look back and compared, say, my cousins who were growing up in Delhi, they were more focused. Even then, they had ambitions.
Vaibhav's parents wanted him to be a doctor, but he confesses knowing early on that he wasn't cut out for it. His parents sent him to Delhi for coaching post his class 12th results. But Vaibhav had different plans, which involved working in the first McDonald's ever to open in India in 1996, because, as he says, it was reminiscent of Archie Digests.
I came for studies. I was enrolled to one of these preparatory colleges. And then, yeah. But I took that opportunity in exploring the city. Activity-wise, my first fun thing what I did was a trade fair. I took up a job. Quite a good money for that time. About 350, 400 rupees per day.
Per day.
And post that, McDonald's was opening,
yeah,
96. And I joined as the crew member. So it was a big deal. It was one of my biggest achievements. So my parents were thinking that I'm studying to becoming a doctor, and here I was taking a pride in becoming a crew member.
They didn't know that you were working at McDonald's? Like, why did you take up a job? Because it was exciting?
It was cool. Like, I had seen it in Hollywood movies,
yeah,
and I have read it in the comics. So I was given 2,800 rupees.
Per month. It would have been a decent
amount. It was a good amount. For the first time, I felt like I've achieved something very big, more than good grades in classes.
But the opening of McDonald's was not the only change evident in Delhi that year.
From a small town to when I came to larger city, my focus changed. And I saw so many opportunities around. So there were two, three things which was happening then very, very rapidly. Export houses were doing really well as a business. And I had few uncles living in Noida, and I saw their success stories, that how well they were doing. TV was another thing, which was media. So yeah, those kind of things, all of a sudden changed my perspective, because they were not doctors, they were not engineers, and all of a sudden. So yes, I was realizing that something is changing in this country now.
All the changes helped Vaibhav make up his mind as to what he really wants to do.
I got through hotel management. I thought this is slightly more structured hotel management. I was seeing 5-star hotels. I visited a couple of times and I found it very, very glamorous. This was in Gwalior. So this is the National Council Pusa Institute. That's how I started my hotel management. This was in 97 I joined. I got through as a butler in Moray Sheraton. And that's where my journey started with hospitality. Near 2000, October. Especially on the weekends, I used to go to a very fancy nightclub, the Room Group. I used to assist
there because they need helping hand on weekends. And seeing my keenness, my training manager thought that I would be an asset for them for a new bar which they were conceptualizing, which was a golf bar.
Okay.
So golf was all of a sudden becoming very big.
In the late 90s, India's excise laws were tweaked, which made it easier to export imported liquor.
When I opened this bar, we were given access to this single malts. So in my bar, I was very proud of it. It was my highlight of my job that I had 57 single malts
okay.
at my bar. Till then, people didn't know more than Glenfiddich. Chivas was not so big by then.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Red Label, Black Label, which was a Scotch.
Yeah.
And then if somebody is going fancy, they will talk about a Glenfiddich. So while I was doing my training and by the time I started my job,
yeah.
The back bar had changed.
How?
The brands which we used to read about,
yeah.
all of a sudden was present in my shelf.
Economically, the late 90s and the turn of the century was one of the best periods of India's post-reform story. Weber recalls how the prosperity around him was now reflected in our choice of alcoholic beverages.
Fancier drinks like vodka and Bacardi had made a presence here.
Okay, what were people drinking otherwise? Whiskey and rum?
Whiskey by then.
Whiskey.
But all of a sudden there was a change by 2001.
Okay.
Vodka was a very cool thing.
Okay.
Bacardi was a young brand.
Okay.
Which every 21, 22 year wanted to drink.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was a very premium thing to drink Smirnoff that time. So all of a sudden you could see there was a change in the pattern of consumption.
Yeah, okay.
The lifestyle had changed by then. Kungru shut down and we opened a new Irish pub called Dublin. For the first time we had beer on tap. We had around... So if I look back, we had a better collection of alcohol than now what you get in this market.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
But the excise regulations have changed and... So in those days it was much easier and we had access to everything,
okay.
which has actually reduced now. At this day and age you get only one Irish whiskey. While we were opening Dublin,
yeah.
we had access to around 23 Irish whiskeys.
So you can import only one label now, brand now, or how is it?
It has become very expensive to import,
okay.
and to register it in Delhi Excise.
Popular culture has long established a bartender as the perfect confidant with whom details of one's life can be shared without the fear of being judged or discussed. Vaibhav as a bartender has donned several hats, from being a wingman to an agony uncle, but what he's above all is a keen observer of social trends and people. He has seen a world rapidly evolve and take shape from across his bar counter. And in the early days, the influencers were new job opportunities in the market, which meant disposable incomes as well as the trickling back of young Western educated Indians in numbers not seen before.
By the time 2003-2004, I happened to be in CP by then, I had joined Park Hotel. The city had a lot of disposable income. The youngsters, everyone had a job. Call centers were doing really, really well. Banking sector all of a sudden opened up. And there were a lot of these youngsters who had joined bank, had a good hefty pay package. And there was another change which I observed was a lot of these kids who had started going abroad to study and they were coming back for their vacations, they had already completed their education. And their pattern of going out had changed and their spending pattern had also.
Okay. So this is the time nightlife is coming of age in Delhi.
Absolutely.
The first half of the 21st century is also when women started making their presence felt, both in professional spheres as well as bars. Throughout the 90s and even before, there were few places, perhaps even none, save your own living room, where a woman could walk in with her friends for a drink at the end of a long day at work.
When I was mentioning about bankers, so 70% of the bankers were women,
okay.
who were coming to us. Guys had a different joint at CP. But Agni was frequented by women. They felt very liberated there. It was a ritual to climb up through the bar top and dance there. And it was a everyday ritual and it was not just weekends. It was every day. There are times when people have fallen over.
Vaibhav believes that nightlife spending in Delhi has had distinct patterns of evolution which reached a peak in 2008-2009. By this time he was working for LAP, Delhi's first member-only nightclub.
2009, I was called back by Park Hotel and they were opening the first members-only nightclub in Delhi. Clap happened. And while world was going through this crisis, there was a strange spending pattern in Delhi which evolved. People were buying the fanciest sports car to Bentleys to... Delhi was all of a sudden changing because there's a lot of real estate money which was coming in. People were happily spending 2-3 lakh rupees with between 4-5 people over a night without blinking an eye, and coming second week and doing the same thing again. Most of them were cash transactions. We were the highest consumers of Dom Perignon, which cost you 35-40,000 rupees a bottle. And over a night, we used to open at least 25 to 30 bottles a night. This was a new spending pattern which the city saw for a few years, which has changed now completely.
By 2011 and 12, Singh was ready to branch out on his own. He started a speakeasy bar, which he would later follow up with a wine and coffee bar in New Delhi's Khan Market called Perch.
We conceptualized a bar which was a speakeasy bar influenced by 1920s, 1930s.
Yeah.
And we opened PCO. It was a very small, I would say, 500 people knew about it for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
And we were having a really good time running.
Okay.
That was my ideal scenario and I could have lived my life just doing it.
Owning and running a bar or even a coffee shop is nowhere near as glamorous as books and movies will have you believe. Singh has done more than his fair share of running around for permissions and dealing with changing regulations. He explains why dealing with the different departments of the government is easier today than it was even 5 years ago, but how there is still room for improvement.
I won't say that it has become more difficult. In a lot of ways, in past 2 or 3 years, things have improved, I would say. Especially in this city. Should I give this credit to government? To some extent, yes, but more of it, we as an industry have got together and asking for our rights. So things have improved. There are a lot of things which has come into black and white online, and you don't need a tout to get your works done.
Such as
the licensing process altogether.
Was it difficult earlier?
It was a very difficult process.
What?
A normal person wouldn't be able to ever, because there's so many requirements, there's so many statutory requirements. Which has not been defined.
Yeah,
of course, I won't like to put it in black and white. But they're making things more difficult as well along with it. They think they're improving but they're complicating it in terms of they're getting greedy now. They're trying to extract more money every year on year.
Okay.
And
in
as
terms
a business
of fees and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Taxation, registration fees. And that's one of the main reasons that our bar is shrinking.
Vaibhav's 2-decade-long journey in the F&B sector has afforded him a ringside view of Delhi's changing nightlife habits. But certain things, he realizes, are set in stone.
When it comes to eating and drinking, we want to be in our comfort or the safe ground. We don't want to explore it much. Our consumers' pattern has not changed with food and beverage.
So we're not very experimentative? No.
Not really. Larger segment, I would say.
Even the youngsters.
Most of them, they want their typical food, their typical drinks.
Okay. What is a typical drink for an Indian?
I'm a guy, I will have my whiskey.
Okay.
Or I'm a cool guy, I'll have my vodka. It would be with Sprite, it would be with some Coca-Cola. If it's some more expensive whiskey, this is a bitter whiskey.
Okay.
So it's just the price point which defines their taste. That outlook probably my father had, and even my generation, and even the next generation, which is not changing.
In his conversation with us, Vaibhav told us that he actually feels blessed to have come of age in an India which was straddling two worlds. While the post-reforms India allowed him the freedom to really follow his heart, his pre-reforms upbringing has left him deeply grateful for the opportunities that came his way. Delhi nightlife has acquired a notorious reputation over the years, but Vaibhav's insights into how the going out culture in the city evolved will actually hold true for other cities in the country as well. Interview conducted by Nikita Doval. This podcast has been produced by Anik Biswas and Ketan Nischal.